Okay.
All right, I'll get started then. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon or evening in Europe. So many of you know me. I know many of you. I don't know if I know everybody, but I've been in the Tools Group for a long time and worked with some of you for probably 5 to 10 years. And I've moved over recently in at the beginning of this calendar year to the Content Management Group after having been involved in the acquisition and the due diligence around Stellant that happened in the second half of last calendar year. And I got so excited about it that I decided to move over and change my career a little bit after so long being in the Java and development space. I've found the content management space very interesting, and I hope to convey some of that enthusiasm to you guys today and give you sort of a general overview of our strategy around enterprise content management now that we've acquired Stellant, and then introduce to you the new content management product line. We had some existing products at Oracle. Some of them will continue, and one of them won't, and we'll go into that a little bit. And then give you a little bit of a roadmap. Obviously, as a new coming in from the outside, integration within, I'll talk about that a little bit. And then at the end, if there's time left, I'd hope to do a brief demonstration of some of the capabilities. So why did we get into content management? I guess the main part is sort of at the bottom of the screen. It's like manage the other 80% of the data in the enterprise. When we talk to customers, and I talked to one actually last week, a big one, a big existing customer of Oracle, is that finally you guys are getting into content management because about 80% of our data is not in your database. And how, you know, what are we supposed to do about that? And they're a big Oracle shop, and they were delighted that Oracle was actually getting into this business. But that's really sort of the crux of the matter for us, is that we've built this big business at Oracle around structured at $16 billion roughly in the past 30 years. And we just see this big opportunity in the other data, the other information that people have in their business that is really unstructured and unmanaged in many cases. I mean, just imagine how much information you have on your desktop, on your laptop in terms of Word documents, PowerPoint, PDF documents that are just completely unmanaged. They're just sitting on your desktop, laptop, maybe on the SharePoint or local web server or file server. And people just don't know what they have. So, Water Driver, someone is making some static. I would like to ask everyone to just put yourself on mute, and then if you have a question, just unmute and ask your question. Thanks. Still there.
You can also use #5 to mute.
Okay,
yourself.
Yeah, it seems to be gone now. Okay, so some of the other drivers. On the left side top, you see sort of the content explosion, and I think everybody's aware of that, right? With digital cameras being cheap, video cameras being cheap, people are just making a lot more content. And it's not just consumers, it's also within the enterprise. And email, just an example. Within America, it's estimated every day at least 1 billion emails are being generated and sent to people. So there's a lot more content going around. The files are getting much bigger. There's many more different formats. And then you have things like users creating their own content a lot more than before. Think about wikis and blogs. Many of you are probably using that these days, whereas 5 years ago we were not. So we're generating a lot more content, a lot more diverse in terms of file formats and much larger in terms of size. So how is that being managed? So that's one part. And then the other part is sort of more around the requirements of the businesses, especially in the last couple of years around regulatory compliance, legal preparedness. I'm not sure if you followed any of this, but large companies being sued and because they're not providing the information, getting large fines of up to $1 billion in fines because they could not produce the information that was required. And what the court then does is assume that the company is hiding it and they give a big fine, even if the company just really lost the information or didn't manage it properly. So we see a lot of companies now getting very nervous about legal discovery or e-discovery of things like email and Word documents, PDFs, communications between executives that, you know, just they happen, but they don't get managed properly, and then when there's a lawsuit, they can't be produced, and big fines come up. On the other side, there are things like, you know, we want to regularly destroy information once we don't legally need to keep it anymore. How do we manage that? How do we manage the proper destruction of information when we can, so that we're not as liable as we were before? So around the legal preparedness and legal discovery and regulatory compliance, there's a lot of use cases for content management. And a sort of another big one, I alluded to it a little earlier, was the Web 2.0 collaboration, right? So in the past, you know, websites were really just to disseminate information or maybe to do transactions around e-commerce. But today, a lot more, you know, people want to interact on the internet, right? So it's user-generated content or just being able to participate and give feedback on websites and comment on things that are happening. So all of that generates content, and what do we do with that? So those are just a few of the use cases that really in the last 2-3 years have grown dramatically. And we just think there's a lot of potential for Oracle to be in this business and help people manage their information and manage their preparedness when it comes to things like compliance. So those are some of the larger business drivers for us to get into this space. So we started looking around earlier last year at this market and see what we could do. We had some products there. We had Oracle Content DB, which at least in the last year has become a lot stronger product, and we've seen more customer adoption of it. But if you compare that to some of the other content management players, we were far behind in terms of the breadth. And once we go through this presentation, I think you'll see more why that is. Because that product, it's a great product for what it does, but it's pretty narrow compared to you know, what our competition was doing. So we started looking at some of the players in that space, and we really honed in pretty quickly on Stellant. There was one other large sort of pure play content management player left, except for Stellant, that also had a full breadth of products. But we thought that they had done a lot of acquisitions as well, but they hadn't integrated those very well, so that didn't work for us. And then there's a number of smaller kind of piecemeal web content management players that really focus more on the web experience. And while we think that's important, that's just a small part of the total picture. So Stellant we really kind of honed in on for a couple of reasons, and some of them are on the slide here. I think the most important one I actually just like to talk about, and I don't put on this slide, which is just the architectural fit and completeness of that product. They had designed it in the late 90s, and they already designed it as a Java server, you know, running sort of as a set of services on top of a core infrastructure, which very much sounds like SOA and our Fusion middleware platform. But they started this on their own in the 90s, which is, we think, very visionary at that point to build something as a... they built it as a very lightweight Java server that is very easy for us to integrate now within the rest of our stack. So you'll see us working on that going forward, and I'll talk about it in the roadmap a little bit, how we're going to take their lightweight server and integrate that with our middleware. And then sort of in terms of capabilities, they were the... You know, one of the two players that really had a broad, unified content management platform. Actually, they were the only ones who have a unified platform. The others have, you know, more, you know, piecemeal that they acquired through acquisitions and didn't really integrate. So from that perspective, they were really also the best fit. And then as we went through the due diligence and figured out more of their capabilities, we found a few nice surprises. So one of them is the records management, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We knew they had that, but the way they've done it is much more in a distributed way, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, which we think is very, very strong. And after the acquisition, we've talked to several of the analysts, and they also very much favor that kind of approach. And the other one was the imaging and process management. So this is taking paper documents and putting them into electronic format and then routing it to the proper workflows. They had pretty good support for it, but the interesting part of it was that they really supported nicely. They had built adapters for all of the Oracle applications except for Siebel, but they've done Oracle eBusiness, PeopleSoft, JD Edwards. So, you know, it was just very nicely complementary to what we needed there. So what we think this will do is really position Oracle as a leader very quickly in this space. Oracle obviously already had the core competency in information management, but really more focused on the structured side. Now with a leading provider of unstructured content, we think we're really set for strong growth and rapid sort of taking up market share from our competitors. And it's still a growing market, so it'll be easy for us to grow this footprint. And we'll talk about in a little bit how we plan to take advantage of the rest of our middleware and then content enable our Fusion application. So if you see what what our analysts are saying, right? So on the left you see Gartner, Oracle obviously with a limited footprint was behind there, but Talent was in the leaders quadrant. I think the Forrester picture is actually a little more interesting. If you look on the right side, you see that in terms of offerings, so that's the vertical axis, Talent was actually at the top. And OpenText, by the way, is the other standalone vendor still. They're bigger, but as I said, through acquisition, they haven't really done all these integrations, and they're more kind of a disparate system. So anyway, if you look at just capabilities, Talent really is very strong. But if you see the size of their market presence, it's small because they were a small company. They were about 500 people. If you want to compete with an IBM or an Oracle or an EMC that are much bigger, then that's going to be very hard, obviously. And that's sort of where they hit sort of the end of the road. They could have maintained their company and grown it at a 5, 10, 15% growth rate, but they were not able to really expand as we will expect now the combination of Oracle and Talent to do. So sort of the strongest product offering, but not enough market presence to really grow to become dominating leader. And now with the Oracle backing and the Oracle field behind it, Oracle marketing, and people like you, we think that this is going to grow much faster. So the strategy then, just summarizing, is delivering an integrated and unified enterprise content management system that does all of these things, and we'll talk about each of these: web content management, basic document management, managing digital assets like video and audio and images and those kinds of things, then automation of paper processes, and then the records and retention management, dealing with the life cycle of products, of information. Leveraging and enabling Oracle product families, so leveraging the database and Fusion middleware. This is another thing that Talent couldn't have done by itself. Right? They really relied on partnerships and did some acquisitions, but sort of growing the footprint of their offering was very hard. Just consider something simple or broad like security. Right? So Oracle has a very broad and comprehensive security offering. It would have been impossible for Talent to build something like that. So they could have partnered with Oracle. It's not as strong as a value proposition. So now that they're part of Oracle, we can easily integrate these things and make a much stronger offering for our customers. And then content enabling our applications. We've already had many discussions with the apps group, and they're very interesting in taking up our next release, our 11 release, to build their Fusion applications and really content enable them. For example, with Siebel, we've had several discussions already where they're building, for example, or where they have a knowledge base on like a call center. And right now they have their own sort of Siebel content management system, but it's very limited. And they're really looking for a much stronger content management system to deal with attachments and other kinds of content that are being generated or consumed by ERP or CRM processes and transactions. All right, so we fit within the Fusion middleware group. We report up to Thomas. My boss is Dan Ryan. He was the former COO of Talent, and he's now running the development organization, and he reports up to Thomas. And as you can expect, when we're part of Fusion middleware, one of the main kind of requirements is to really take advantage of the capabilities that are there. So you can imagine some of these like a portal or a web center as an interface on top of a content management system, business intelligence doing some intelligent reporting on the system, things like grid infrastructure to provide high availability for your content server, system management to manage the system better. There is some, you know, web interfaces right now that Stellant uses to manage itself, but obviously Oracle system management is much more advanced, and integrating with that will provide a lot of value as well. So our goal then really after, you know, this acquisition is to manage the complete life cycle of information from, you know, creation of electronic content or the capture of paper documents into electronic formats, and from sort of the core document management, storing, versioning, indexing the information, making it ready to be searched and consumed, managing and cleansing and filtering of the information and making it easy to render on the web. So part of this acquisition, we also acquired a number of what we call filters or converters. It takes, you know, any type of input about, there's about 400 of these document types that it then converts into a web rendition, either HTML or a different image format or a PDF, for example, and you'll see some of that when we go through the demo. And then distributing and publishing it for websites, and then being able to search it full text as well as just metadata searches. And then finally, at the end of the life cycle, is manage its retention, right? So define how long you want to keep certain types of documents, and you know, how to archive them and when to destroy them. So the rest of this presentation will go into more of the just the functionality and the products. So just to make sure, this business has really grown, especially under Stellant, by really focusing on selling solutions and building solutions for customers. So some of the of these solutions are mentioned here. It's not very frequent that, you know, they just sell a complete enterprise content management suite to a company and just, you know, here you go, sell it to the CIO and see whatever you do. It very often starts, you know, with a very clear goal and solution in mind, such as, for example, a multinational website like an Oracle.com. We're actually talking to Oracle.com this week about it, about running on our new system. Things like brand management or marketing asset management. Coca-Cola is a good example. They manage their brand using the Stellant, now Oracle, content management system. Things like call centers and knowledge bases, like I mentioned, for Siebel, very good good application of this technology. And, you know, there's many more. You can read the slides later if you're interested. Okay, so then let's look at the products. So the first one we call Content Database Suite, and this is really sort of the core document management capabilities. And Gartner likes to call this the basic content management capability. So it's basically the ability to store documents in a repository and retrieve them and search them. Oracle used to have a product, or still has a product, called ContentDB. That really focuses on this problem. And then Stellant had a product called Content Server that really was the basis of their full enterprise content management solution. So both of these are bundled together in a suite. It's an option to the database. And basically these provide content, basic content services on top of an Oracle database. Then Universal Content Management is really the broader integrated suite. It covers things like web content management, also the basic document management, managing digital assets, records, and retention management. So basically, the full breadth of those products, and we'll go into that in a little bit more detail in a second. Then a product called Universal Records Management that really deals with managing the life cycle of information and, you know, how long to retain and when to destroy information. And it's federated across, you know, several different repositories. You can manage this. Then information rights management is all about managing content and security around document, whether it's inside a repository or outside a repository. So sort of the thing to think about here is that companies often really try hard to secure their repositories, whether that's a relational database or whether that's a content management system. They really restrict who can access things and what they can access and what they can do with it. But as soon as you use content, and that's maybe a little bit different than with a relational database, as soon as you use content, you basically start, you know, forwarding it to people in emails. You store it on your laptop or your desktop or maybe on a thumb drive. All that security and all that access control is gone. So what you can do with information rights management is secure the content itself. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as well. And the last product line is imaging and process management. That's really the automation of paper documents like invoices or expense reports and making them electronic and then kicking off workflows or business processes based on the metadata that was in those documents. So let's go into each of these in a little bit more detail, and then I'll do a demonstration of parts of this. Obviously, there's a little bit too much to go through in detail of all of them, but I'll take a selection of it. So if we look at the five product lines, there's, at this point, if you look at it, there's three different repositories. So there's the content content database, there's content server, and then also the imaging and process management has its own server. Now, one of the things we'll obviously do is sort of make sense of these different repositories that we have and consolidate this into one server. And that's our strategy for sort of the next year to make that happen. If you look at it, there's basically three different solutions that we have: the core document management or the basic content services, which really takes care of just the sort of the core document management and provides an infrastructure for then building applications on top of it. And the way we are doing this is we're letting people start with this if they want to, and then they can upgrade to the universal content management if they have a need to do so. And we let them upgrade the content, but also their license through the software. We have two deployment solutions for that. As I mentioned before, there's the Content DB from Oracle and the Content Server, and each of them sort of have their own purpose, and I'll talk about that in the next slide. Then on the universal content management, sort of the full breadth of content management, as I mentioned, things like web content management, document management, digital asset management, etc. And this really focuses more on user-oriented content. So how do people share content? How do they consume it? How can we share it on a website? Things like that. More so than just sort of the file server capabilities that you would get with a core document management system. And then the imaging, really focusing on, you can use it for general purpose, scanning of paper documents and making them digital, but where this product is really strong is in its integrations with ERP systems like JD Edwards, PeopleSoft, and eBusiness Suite. We also actually support SAP. Marrying basically a paper document, making it electronic, and then marrying it up to an ERP transaction, whether that's in PeopleSoft or SAP. And then what it also does is output management, basically being able to then print or send off to a different business process, archive it, email, all of these things are offered in this product as well. So in terms of solutions for each of these, for ContentDB, really the core kind of application of that, and the reason we want to continue this product is that it's really well suited for things like file server consolidation or archive consolidation. And we have a large deployment of this at Allstate Insurance, where they had about 100 different servers where they had different repositories and from different vendors, and they really wanted to consolidate it and save cost. And they basically they didn't go to a single instance, but they went to like a handful of servers that were hosting ContentDB for the entire enterprise. And you probably can imagine that this is a large company with many employees, more than 100,000, or about 100,000, and they need to all share content with each other. Actually, Oracle itself is a good example of it as well. We used to have thousands of file servers within our company, and this has been consolidated onto two content management systems running ContentDB, just two servers, and the goal is eventually to make that one. So it's massively scalable. You can have more than a billion documents. If you look at the deployment at Oracle, we ingest more than a million documents No, actually, this is at Allstate, 1 million documents a day. At Oracle, it's a little bit less, but we typically have larger documents that we put in there. So that's sort of what ContentDB is focused on. Content Server, really more document sharing, collaboration, sort of the user user interaction is really what it's strong at. And you'll see when I show you a demo of that. The universal content management, things like building websites, multi-websites is what it's very good at. So you store your content in one server, and then you build multiple websites on top of it, whether it's a website for each language. Sony Pictures does this. They have one system where they run the content server. And then they have, for each country, they have a separate website that gets the content from that server. And then they also do microsites for each of the movies that also run on all of the same content server, but different websites built on top of it. Things like extranets, intranets, customer support websites, call centers, knowledge bases, sales portals. These are systems that our customers are building today based on top of this system. Some examples for ERP imaging and process automation are things like account payable, travel and expense automation, HR applications, really very paper-based in most companies. Definitely, it used to be very paper-based at Oracle. We were much more automated already, but a lot of our customers are not yet. This is a great solution to make that happen. And sort of across all of these repositories, and also other repositories outside of Oracle, we have this Universal Records Management, which really gives you sort of a central policy engine where you can store and create and manage policies around the life cycle of your content, the life cycle of documents or images or any type of content you store in the system. Things like, okay, how long do I want to store my web content, for example? Or when you talk about official records, so these are things like things you file with the SAC, for example, official documents that need to be retained officially, tax returns, things like that. They become official records, and you can manage that also in a central place, and then you can store the actual content sort of in place in any kind of content management system that you'd like. So we support, obviously, our own content management systems. And then today we also support SharePoint and Semantic Enterprise Archive, and we're actively working on kind of growing that footprint with partners and building our own solutions too, so that you can basically manage your content anywhere, but then centrally manage its retention policies and record policies. And then, for example, if you're being sued, you can do a search across all of these repositories for the relevant information for the specific lawsuit. Then you can put a hold on it so that information cannot be deleted or changed anymore because you're in litigation. And I'm sure you've read about these things. Emails getting lost. There's actually controversy in the government going on right now, right around Karl Rove and emails that have been, deleted. As soon as you place a halt on it, you cannot delete it anymore. So that's the sort of solution that's being provided here. Then also sort of across of the all of these, not necessarily, you don't necessarily need to integrate this with any of these repositories, but it's sort of across all of, wherever you store information, is the information rights management. So as I said, as soon as you start using content, you start emailing things around or putting it on a file share somewhere or even on your desktop or laptop, sort of the repository security that you've applied to it doesn't apply anymore. So with information rights management, you put a little security wrapper around the content itself. And then only if you have the right privileges, you'll be able to access the content. So it'll go against the server. As soon as you try to open a document, it'll go against the server, try and find out if you're authorized to open this document. And if you are, you will be able to open it. And then if you're not, you will just get an error message saying that you don't have access to this content. So you can really sort of put a security perimeter around an individual piece of content. Individual piece of information. Then you can set policies around who can access the documents, when they can access it, maybe only during business hours, and what they can do with it, whether they can copy and paste from it, whether they can print, even if they can create screenshots of it. And then a couple other things, it creates a large sort of audit trail. You can trace exactly who tried to open which document and whether they succeeded or not. And then once either the content is no longer relevant or the person is no longer relevant, you can revoke the access rights to that individual piece of content or to a group of content. All right. So I'll talk a little bit about the roadmap, and then we'll do a brief demo. So as I mentioned, one of the main goals for our next release is really to integrate with Fusion Middleware. So a couple obvious things that we're already looking at. So one of them is integration with Beeple. So when you think about content, obviously workflows are very important. When you check in a piece of content, you may want to go through a certain workflow before it's actually accepted and published to the world, right? Especially when you think about a website. You check in information into the content management system, it automatically might go to the website, so you want to have some workflows around that. So there's a basic workflow system built into the content server, and it's pretty good for managing content within that server. But when you want to do more complicated things or more complex things, like interacting with other systems before you want to approve a specific piece of content, we think that the Beeple Process Manager is a great solution for that. So everything within the content server is already a web service, so we can do this today. We're very interested in working with some customers that that have application for this today, where when you check in a piece of content, all kinds of things need to happen, not just within the content system, but elsewhere. And we think Beeple is a great way to do that. And so what we want to do is provide tighter integration there. As I said, because everything is a web service already in the server, some of this can be done already, but making it more seamless and more obvious. Web Center for building composite applications. Web Center really focusing on sort of the Web 2.0 collaborative portal. Having content in there obviously is very important. And if you're just building a content-centric application, you may not need Web Center because web content management within our solution is great for that. But if you want to build a composite application that does things like transactions and business intelligence as well, then Web Center will be a great way to sort of compose the application from these different systems. Very obvious one is the identity management for provisioning. The content server comes with its own identity management capabilities, but obviously it very often needs to tie into what an enterprise already has in place for identity management, and out of the box we'll be able to offer a great solution with Oracle, and sort of through services we can also do this with other identity management providers. Secure Enterprise Search, we actually just integrated with that at a very sort of high level, very loose integration, but what we'll do is much more tightly. So SES will become the default search for within the content server, but also allows you to, and that's actually shipping with the product today, but you'll also be able to search against a whole set of other repositories and databases and other systems using Secure Enterprise Search. Another thing that I alluded to earlier was sort of the consolidation of the repository layers. So today we have three, and if you see their Fusion Content Server, sort of the project name we have for it, it may end up being called something differently, but really sort of a common content infrastructure for all of these applications, providing a migration path from the existing systems, and keeping sort of the applications that are currently existing, so the imaging on the right side and the sort of the file server consolidation on the left side and everything else in the middle. These kinds of applications and services will keep, but now built on a common infrastructure that can either go against the database or against the file system. And leveraging other Oracle products. I mentioned a few of these already. Content enabling the Oracle applications, taking advantage of some of the things in the database and the middleware that we already talked about. So I guess we have some time for a demo, so I'd like to do that. Let me get out of my PowerPoint. Can everybody see my screen, my Internet Explorer? Can someone reply?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
You can't?
I cannot, Roel.
Okay.
Now I can.
Okay, good. There might be a little delay in Europe. I'll try and go slow where I can.
I'm all the way in the Netherlands.
Yes. Okay. So what you see here is the welcome screen to the content server. And I want to start with just a simple document management demonstration and show you some of the capabilities. And then we'll look at web content management as well. So I'll log into the system. And I'll log in as system administrator, so I have all the privileges that I could want. So we've actually just released, this might be a good point to mention that, we've just released the first Oracle version of the content server and all of the products on top of that last Friday. So we're just live. You can see this is the new Oracle look already built into it. So here's the basic system. This is how it comes out of the box. There's a lot of customizations that you can do. I'll show you a few by going to an existing system that we have within Oracle. It's called Olympus, and that's the system that Stellant used to have for their own intranet. So this is where they stored all the information that they shared with each other within the company. So there was about 500-600 people using this. And you can see it has a very different look. It has a different home page as well that's completely customizable. You can even have some basic portal capabilities, such as here. Can you still follow this in Holland, or is it going too fast?
That's okay.
It's fine in Holland.
Yeah? Okay. Okay, so you can you can manage that page from here. The check-in that you can see here, it's going to be different from the check-in that we'll be using in the main demo. I'm just showing you some of the customizations you can do. There's many different customizations. The search, for example, you can have several different search screens depending on the type of content you're looking for. Same for check-in. When you want to check in a contract, you may want to specify different types of metadata for your piece of content than when you're checking in a piece of web asset. Right, so you can customize the heck out of this thing. That's basically the basic message. If you look at the top here, if you look at the URL, you can see if you can read it, it says IDC service equals get doc page. This is basically a service. Everything you do within this UI is a service that has a WSDL definition to it. So it's very service oriented. It's very, it's a lightweight Java application. So let me do some of the basic steps that are part of document management. So what I'd like to do is to check in some content. So let me check in the presentation that I'm doing to you right now into the system. So first of all, I specify the type. And based on any of this metadata that you type in here or that you select here, you can kick off automatically different workflows or different things may happen to it. So metadata becomes pretty important. I made it a presentation. This is my Fusion Middleware Regional Director presentation. And all of this will be indexed, so we can later search on all of this metadata. We'll be able to do a full text search on the content. So the security group is actually public. And then what I want to do is pick up the presentation from today, so that's in my documents presentations, and it's called Fusion Middleware Regional Director Preview. So by default, this security group will actually determine where on my system, where on the file system, or where in the database this file will be stored. And that's not something the user will see. So if I want, in addition, I can specify a folder where people can actually browse for this content. So this is very different from the usage of a file server where everything is basically folder or directory based. What you're doing here really is tagging information with metadata, and I have to be careful here because my battery is dying. I forgot to plug in my power supply. There we go. As I was trying to say, everything is based on metadata here, so it's tagging and searching, just like, for example, Google Mail works, rather than going through like tons and tons of folders trying to remember the taxonomy that you may have set up, you know, years ago when you've actually stored a piece of document. This is much more focused on metadata and searching. But if you want, you can actually specify a folder structure as well. So I'm doing that here. And when you do that, you will actually be able to browse it through things like Microsoft Windows Explorer or even through Microsoft Outlook. So I want to do that. So I did specify a folder, but that's really optional. Out of the box, that's not even installed on the system. So so you can sort of see that the foldering is really an optional thing that you can use. So I've checked in this document now. I'm getting some base information here, but if I click on this link here, content info, I get some more metadata and some more information about the check-in that I just did. So a couple things are happening right now. I typed in, or I checked in a Microsoft PowerPoint format document, and it's doing a few things. First of all, because it's a PowerPoint, it kicked off this approved doc workflow, and we'll take a look at that in a second. It also kicked off a generation step, where it's generating a web-based rendition of this PowerPoint presentation. And for PowerPoint, the basic web rendition is a PDF. So it's generating a PDF that we'll later be able to see when it's ready. So right now, it's still going through the generation phase. So let me bring up my email client and see if the workflow already came in. No new messages. Well, it's a Monday morning workday, so I guess our email system is a little bit slow. It would look something like, not like that one. Sorry. No, I don't have any. Come on. Give it one more second. We'll take a look at it in a second. It will come in soon. The good thing is I can also get to it from here, or from some other locations. Like I can look at all the active workflows. So let's go to it from there. So say I'm checked in now as the approver of this document. I've obviously set it up so that I'm the approver myself. But we can look at my workflow assignments, and here we see in my queue the document that has just come in. So let's take a look at it. I can open it as a PowerPoint, or if the generation step has already completed. Let's just open it. And you can see it has just opened that presentation. I can review it, and once I'm happy with it, I can close it again and approve it. And now I approve the document. It's no longer in the queue, and we should be able to search for it. So we had a regional director in the title. So let's search for regional. And not there. I think I know what's going on. It's still in the generation phase. Error message. That's why it didn't come up. Let's try again. So that generation is actually something that typically a company that has a large system, they will deploy this on a separate machine. So we have a product called Conversion Server. That's a subset of the full system that people can deploy on a separate CPU, and then all these generation steps will sort of happen on the side and will not slow down your system. You can imagine if you have a million documents coming in each day, you don't want to have the system being slowed down by this pretty expensive step of creating a PDF out of a PowerPoint. That takes quite a bit of time, as you can see. And it's still going on. Fortunately, I have built this in as a possibility. So I can just look up presentation, and we'll find a few others that I've checked in the past. For example, this customer visit, that is a very similar presentation as the one I did today. I can click on it, and you should get PDF version now. This one has successfully gone through that generation step. And you can see the presentation in PDF form. So you didn't have to manage that manually, right? So typically today, especially when you want to publish something on the web, you basically have to go through an extra step of generating the PDF, and then you have to also manage the source document, right? So this happens a lot to us here at Oracle, where you know in the past we've checked in on the website a nice PDF version of a Word document or a PowerPoint, and then a year later you want to update the content, and you have no longer managed the source, and you know the person who owned it is gone, and it's basically really gone, and you've lost the content, and you have to recreate it. So now we have basically both. Go back. So I have that document there. Let's now take a look at it through Windows Explorer. So I can open up my computer, look for folders, and you can see Stellant folders. We haven't renamed that yet. It's still called Stellant folders. I can log into that, and you can now see that same directory structure or folder structure that we saw when we were checking in the document, and we put it under public documents. And it's actually there now. That's the one we just generated. You see here the source documents. And let's see if the generation is... No, it has failed. There's something wrong going on there. But that's okay. I have a different version here. The Windstream, for example, my customer visit. And this one has the original document here. It has one revision. And the PDF document is right there. So you can manage it from here. You can drag and drop into this. All the normal things... you'd like to do. Then we can also access this from Microsoft Outlook. So let's open that up. And we have the Stellant folders. I can go through here or through there. Log in, and those same contribution folders are there. I can look at the public documents, and you can see all the metadata for that document over there. And one question I always get is, can you interact with your email directly from here? And yes, you can. So for example, I have an email here with a Word attachment. That's a resume. And I can either just drag and drop the email itself and save it somewhere on the folder system here in Stellant. Or I can just take the attachment and drag and drop that into one of the folders. So let's do that. It will probably ask me if I want to overwrite it, because I've done this demo before. It does, so I'll say yes, overwrite this document. And now it'll also, if there is a workflow associated with this type of document, that will be kicked off as well. Since this is not a PowerPoint presentation, it will actually not go through that. So if I go to my resume directory and look for John Smith, you can see all the metadata here, all the different revisions. And this is the one I just checked in, 852. And it's going through the generation step, so it's also creating a PDF for that one. I can take a quick look at the PDF for the previous rendition, revision, I should say. I'm looking at the previous revision. It has the PDF, and I can take a look at that right inside Outlook. I can browse through it. So those are some of the integrations today with sort of the desktop, right? So you have the email integration with Outlook. It has integration with all the Office documents for saving and creating. Okay, well, I better wrap up then. All right, so I guess I'll leave the demo at that, because I want to briefly go back to the slides. And I have a few case studies. I'll go through them very quickly. Coca-Cola, don't have to explain what the company does. Basically, what they're doing, they're using content management system to manage. They are using it to manage their digital assets, mainly images and videos and audio clips of their brand, of their letters. Like Powerade and Minute Maid, they have tons of brands. But what they do is they have a small set of people that create this this content, and then they have thousands of people that use it on a daily basis. And really what they tried to fix was people not using this or old content, but using the latest and using it properly. SanDisk uses the information rights management capabilities. They have a lot of intellectual property that they want to protect, but they do need to work with suppliers. They do need to share some of this information. So they want to control how that goes. They want to be able to revoke access. They want to be able to see who uses this intellectual property so that it doesn't leak. USDA, very large government organization, probably one of the largest in the world, annual budget of $90 billion a year. And they use the content server mainly to facilitate how users share content, because one of their main problems was that people were working sort of in isolation of each other. This is a large department with many different branches, and people were not using content across the organization very well and leveraging content that other people were providing while they were using Stellant. And the last one is a S&P customer, Allstate. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. They had a number of large number of servers before, and they've really consolidated that down to a handful. So 70,000 employees are now using that system basically to share. So with that, I think the conference is about to end, but. Until that happens, I'm happy to take